Good morning. Glad to be here again. I was going to try to visit, but then I got a call and asked me to come. So even a better excuse to be here. Today I want to talk about what some perceive as the little things. The little things. You know, everybody's looking for all of the big things and all this and that, but they don't look at the detail. And sometimes that's where we go wrong. I want to use cars as an example real quick. There's a difference between a car that looks clean and a car that is clean. At a distance, they both look clean. They both look the same. But the prices are different, and so is the salesman. Now, the salesman of the car that looks clean says, the same car, no difference. Why pay more? You know, they fast talk. They walk you around the car quickly, showing and pointing out some things, passing by others. Even letting the person take it out for a drive seems to drive good, smooth ride and all, and it's cheaper. You know, the devil is like that salesman, fast talker, only pointing out the similarities, but not the detail. You know, a lot of that's going on today. A lot of that's going on right now, this very hour, in a lot of different buildings, in a lot of different congregations. The devil's very, very crafty. He's been around for a long, long time. And if he can't get you one way, he'll get you another. Doesn't matter how smart you are, you have to watch out for him. Detail is important. No matter what anybody says, the detail is important. When it comes down to used cars, the detail is very important. You know, some people like to trust the salesman because, well, after all, he's a professional. He knows what he's doing, and he is under some laws that keep him from lying, supposedly. And the same thing goes with preachers sometimes. Somebody say, well, you're a preacher, so you're a man of God. You know what God is saying, so whatever you say, I'm going to believe. I don't need to open this Bible up to look at the detail. I'll just believe you because you've done all the studying anyway and you know what you're talking about. Some preachers like to leave out the detail. Baptism's not important. We don't have to do the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Little things like that. Or you can go ahead and do what you want to do during the week. Because you have been baptized, you're saved. What can happen? There was a story similar in Genesis chapter 3. And a very familiar story. And I won't read it all to you because I know we've heard this, especially from me now, at least 10 or 15 times, because every time I usually start in Genesis. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you'll not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now, had Adam and Eve stopped and walked away after they said what they said, after repeating what the Lord said about that fruit, they would have been fine. But they didn't. See, the devil likes to leave out little details. He'll add a few things, he'll subtract a few things, anything to get you to see things his way. You know, Acts 17, verse 11. Kind of reminds us that we should always, even though you have a preacher, even though you have somebody who has a lot of knowledge in God's Word, that we should always check out God's Word anyway. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says of the people of Berea, these were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness, and search the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. It's the little things that matter. And even if you do have a good preacher, a God-fearing preacher who wants to do God's Word and wants to speak God's Word the way it should, you should still look at this book, look at God's Word to make sure that there's no mistakes. Because even sometimes, preachers make mistakes. Or sometimes they may say something that they go back later and think that was wrong, but it's already out there. That's why we need to be diligent about studying God's Word and making sure that what we hear jives with what God says. The little things, or the things we call little, are as important as the big things. People can be on the lookout for the big things, and the small things slip by. Denominations, a lot of them, use instruments. Where is that detail in the Lord's church? Little things like that slip by. People reason and people sit up there and they say other things about it, but it's not there. It's a little detail that's just not there. But it sounds good. It seems like it should be the right thing to do, but it's not. You know, in Genesis from chapter 3 through chapter 6, I believe thousands of years had gone by, and evil had grown out of control, because it starts with the little things. Everything started with God. You had Adam and Eve, and God was being taught throughout the time, but it would either be watered down or it just got to the point where people just kind of forgot about God. So much so that in chapter 6, at verse 6, it says, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." You know, because they forgot a little here, and they forgot a little there. And over time, it became normal to think and do evil, thinking that is all right, and drifting away from God. Again, like I said, other people in other services today slowly drifted away from God. You know, when it comes down to some of these other denominations, the people who founded some of these denominations in some of their writings and commentaries, said that instrumental music was an abomination in worship service way back then. So how did you get from there to where things are now? A little here, a little there. And sometimes, unfortunately, it could come from people in the Church of Christ. You know, I remember one time at East Main Street, we had a function going on, and had a bunch of young men come in. Didn't have musical instruments, but they wanted to use their mouths as musical instruments. Saying, "Well, we're using our mouths during the singing, but all you're doing is bumpity bumpity bump. How's that praising God? How's that worshiping Him the way He would want to be worshiped?" And at the time, I was the one who made the decision. So I said, "No, that's not happening." the president of the Christian college that just happened to be there that day, and I was sitting next to him, and he had made something about, well, they're young, let them do it their way. I was floored by that myself, coming from someone who is supposed to be so smart and so much into God's Word, a Church of Christ member. What's going to happen with our little ones when they grow up? If you start doing things like this, what's going to be the church? Little by little. You know, you hear... Well, first of all, I just want to talk about, you know, viruses are the same way. They're very small. But in the right conditions, it spreads and destroys. If your heart is in that right, is in that particular condition at that time, it can destroy you. Something small. Not immediately, but it will come. And you heard, watch out, well, maybe not so much here, I'm not sure, but you've heard, watch out for the dope man, because he'll get you hooked. But you know what? It's usually a friend or a relative who actually does that, who offers the drugs and says, try it. A little won't hurt you. Then it becomes a little here, a little there. The next thing you know, you're hooked. Same way with the devil. Why not try it? Why not sit down? Why not just think about it? You know why a lot of Church of Christ people won't go to denominations for their functions and this and that? It's a smart move. Don't. It doesn't give the devil, it doesn't give them the opportunity to try to put things in your head that should not be there. Gives you doubt. That's why you should always stay clear of things like that. Because the devil's the same way. He hooks you and pulls you away. Another thing the devil does. And you know, in Vietnam, they had this saying. Bite an elephant once a day. If a tiger bites an elephant once a day, he'll bring them down. Doesn't take a lot. It takes just a little bit, just persistence. God made Solomon the wisest man who ever lived. But over time, the devil got him. And it started in 1 Kings, as a matter of fact. They just kind of, the writers didn't say a whole lot about it in chapter 3 of 1 Kings. Let me get to it, I'm sorry. Verse 1, it says, now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house in the house of the Lord and all in the walls all around Jerusalem. Didn't seem like much. Married an Egyptian woman. But by the end of his life, he had brought evil not only to himself, not only to his household, not only to his family, but to the whole country, the whole nation. Started out with just one. Next thing you know, he had 700 wives and princes, 300 concubines. In verse 1 of chapter 11 of 1 Kings, it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after God, after their gods. And it says, Solomon clung to these in love. Now, he started out, all right, why is this man in the world? Must have been a tough job for Satan. But Satan is a patient spirit. And by the time it was over, in chapter 11, going on, verse 4 says, verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, and as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrifice to their God. So one little thing in the beginning, just one. He only broke one. God said, don't marry these other women because they're going to pull you away from God. Might sound like a little thing. But that's why, you know, God's wisdom surpasses anything that we could think about. If he says don't do it, we shouldn't do it. Shouldn't be questioned. Now, he could have been up there thinking, well, this is some diplomatic thing. Well, I'm just doing this because a lot of other countries did that back then. But it goes on to say, talk about how much he loved these women. He loved these women so much that he went against God. And the whole nation followed after. You know, throughout time, some kings of Israel would try to restore Israel, but the next king would go back to the evil ways, dragging Israel further away from God. Even though they thought that they were still doing, in some way, doing his will, only half-heartedly at best, just going through the motions. A lot of people today are just going through the motions. I hope everybody wants to be here today. I hope we're not here just because we were commanded to be here. I hope we be here because we want to be here, because we want to worship God and do things His way. We can't be half-hearted. That turns out to be the problem sometimes. It gives us the willingness to want to hear other things. Now, going back to where I started, I just wanted to add one little detail, and that's willingness. Eve's willingness and Adam's willingness to listen to the devil. And then listening and then looking at things, the doubt that he placed in their head, and then they look at the fruit where the fruit looks good to eat. Looks like all the rest of them. But the Lord said, don't do it. And they did, and we know the result of that. People in Noah's time had forgotten God. And as I was saying earlier, you know, it's our duty to teach our children, and they teach their children. You know, because if we don't do that, what is the church going to be like 10 years from now? What is it going to be like 20 years from now? It's the little things right now that's starting to make some of these churches of Christ fall by the wayside. And they don't even know it. Because they're allowing the little things, what they think is meaningless, what they think is harmless, to infiltrate their congregations. You know, I know Deuteronomy chapter 6 is in the Old Testament, but I do believe that what it says here is still true. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, talking about God's law, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them in the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's important. What it's talking about is it's important, not only for us, but for our children. It's important for them to know God's way. It's important for them to know that they need to stick to God's way. And it's important for them to know that so that they can teach their children and they can teach their children. One of the reasons why the Lord's church is here today is because faithful people taught their children. And then those children taught their children. Teaching our children the way to go. Love the Lord and keep His commandments. And we need to do that, and we need to be serious about that. You know, unfortunately, right now, some congregations have a bunch of older folks. Don't have a lot of young people to take over. Why is that? Now, sometimes it's because they move and they go other places. I'm not saying, you know, they're not all here because they've fallen by the wayside, but I'm just saying, a lot of times, why is that? Young people don't believe. They don't see it as serious as we do. They want to change things. They want things to be different. And we have older people who allow that to happen. Instead of doing it God's way, we're going to do it partly God's way and partly our way. That's not the way God wants it. He wants it His way and His way only. You know, sometimes we may wonder why the Lord commands this or that. And some may think it's such a small thing. How can that hurt me? Well, let's look at it. What about a drink of alcohol? What about one lie? What about gambling? What about all these other things? Just one. You know, drinking can destroy a family. It's not just the person who's the drunk who's being destroyed by this. Sometimes the entire family is being affected by it. Same with drugs, same with lying, same with gambling, same with all of these things. It's not a small thing. If God said don't do it, don't do it. And He has a reason. And His wisdom is much better than our wisdom. And, you know, I would think that we would want to use God's wisdom instead of our own. But we get that in our head sometimes. Well, it's just a small thing. I'll do it just this once. I'm sure a lot of crackheads said that too. But you can get caught up easily. Don't try to outsmart the devil unless you're going to do it with this. You know, Solomon disobeyed God by marrying one foreign woman. And look at the end. God's word is wisdom. You know, the devil is crafty, but only if you let him be. And here's another familiar story. Well, that's true. If we want to look in Matthew's chapter 4. Very familiar story, but you know what? This shows us exactly how to handle Satan. Let's look at chapter 4 real quick. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Every word. "Then the devil took him up into a high city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against the stone. Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said to, and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only you shall serve." Now, Jesus didn't use any magical tricks. He didn't just sit up and snap his finger and poof them away. He used God's word. And I believe he used it, and all that was to tell us, to give us the example of what we need to do. When you feel the devil trying to move in on you, you use God's word. You go to his word. What does the Lord say? You know, first you got to know God's word, though, too. You have to study God's word in order to know what to be looking for in the first place. You know, in 1 Timothy, another very familiar verse, in 2 Timothy, actually, chapter 2, verse 15, we've all heard this before. It says, "Be diligent," or in some versions it says, "study, to present yourself to prove to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study God's word. Figure out what the Lord wants you to do. Don't worry about what the world wants you to do. Figure out what the Lord wants you to do. As a matter of fact, Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Always be aware of what's going on around you. And study God's word to come to the understanding of what is evil and what is good." A lot of times people don't do that and things sneak up on them. But we're always supposed to be on the lookout for evil. We're always supposed to be able to, recognize it and get away from it. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." In verse 22 of that same chapter, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." This is our authority right here. And if it ain't in this book, I would say chances are you shouldn't do it. Sometimes when we have these doubts, we need to turn to God's word to be reassured of what he says and not what some smooth-talking person says. Like I said, there's a lot of people in a lot of places today who are being steered the wrong way, who are told to close these books because I got it all right here. Nobody has it all right here, I can tell you that right now. Nobody. But it is all right here. And I hope that there's nobody here who is half-hearted. I hope there's nobody here who is going to lend an occasion for the devil to get into their head, to allow them to do something that's going to send them to hell. Yield not to temptation. Please. Because yielding to temptation is sin, just like the song says. And we need to remember that. We need to guard against that. Please, brothers and sisters, pray for me that I stay strong as I pray for you that you stay strong. Please pray for the church and the congregations that they stay strong. You know, I hear every now and then when I'm on Facebook or some of these other, there are churches of Christ right now in some areas who are allowing things to happen that should never happen in God's church. And yet they call themselves the Church of Christ. It's not in this book. But yet they call themselves the Church of Christ. You know, you ever heard the phrase dead and not even know it? That's how some of them are. But please, my brothers and sisters, please stick to God's word. Please don't be led away by temptation. Please, if you have questions, if you have a misunderstanding, please go to this book. Please go to God. Pray to God. Ask Him for guidance, and He'll give it to you. Please. And that's my sermon. And I hope that we all take it to heart. And if there's any here who are not Christians yet, got to hear God's word, believe God's word, then you need to repent. That means to, and you know, sometimes people get this word a little mixed up. Repent means to change. It means a 180. Not a 360, a 180. Turn. Confess Jesus as our Savior, be baptized